بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. السلام عليكم and welcome to session 3 of our sharing the secrets of successful Muslim wives. Our teacher in this session is none other than Umm Talha of Marital Arts, and she is going to be sharing with us the art of marriage. I just would like to welcome you firstly, Umm Talha, thank you so much for being here. It was great to meet you yesterday in our virtual salon discussion, and we're really looking forward to learning from you today. Mm-hmm. I would also like to welcome our VIPs in the VIP room. They are our virtual salon patrons. Shout out to the patrons. Your continued support every month helps us do what we are doing now, mashallah. And I'd like to welcome all the attendees who bought tickets and are in the Facebook group, ready, I hope, with pens, paper, tablet, whatever it is that you need to take notes, and hopefully a bottle of water on the side as well, inshallah. Umm Talha, take it away. Bismillah.
جزاكم الله خيرا. بسم الله، الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. Just like to begin with the question for all to ask themselves, when we look at marriage, every single person has different reasons for married, wanting to marry, for being married. So whenever I deliver my Art of Marriage workshop, the first session we open the workshop with is why marry, meaning what is your reason for being married? Because sometimes as we progress into marital life, we forget the reason for which we got married. If I can ask you all to think back of the reasons why you married in the first place. To kind of help you, I'll share some of the answers that I usually get from the workshop. People usually say they want to have a partner for, you know, travel. They want to have a person to share their life with. They want to have somebody who they can fulfill themselves sexually, you know, like have a halal boyfriend. We've had that answer as well. Somebody who they want to go traveling with, somebody who they want to start their family life with, somebody who they want to, you know, grow stronger in faith, who can help them spiritually. These are some of the reasons that people usually give when I do my Art of Marriage workshop. If you can jot down your reasons for being married, why did you get married? What was your reason? Of course, we know in the Sharia, there are so many virtues and benefits and advantages of marriage. For example, the Prophet ﷺ, he encouraged marriage because he said that one of the ways to keep ourselves chaste, because every human being, they have urges when they get to a certain age. And marriage is one of the ways of keeping ourselves chaste. So if you have any sexual desire, you can fulfill it in the relationship of marriage. Also, we know that it's a way to start a family life. So through marriage, you can have children. And when you have children, it's one of the ways of leaving behind legacy. As you know, the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ said that when a person dies, all his deeds come to an end, except for three things. The sadaqah that is continuous, the knowledge that you teach is of benefit to other people, and when you have a child who is righteous, that you leave behind, who makes dua for you. So through marriage, we have the opportunity to have our own family, our own children. Also, the other things like completing our faith, it's a way to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's a way to attain a blissful, you know, life, meaning through marriage, you can have so many doors that open to you by which you can attain the sense of tranquility, companionship, you know, peaceful home, and so on and so forth. So if I can ask you all to jot down your reason for being married or wanting to get married, so that you can look at your motivation to make your marriage work. Why do I say this? You see, anything that is of success, whether it's your career, your education, your business, whatever you take. For it to flourish, for it to be successful, you have to have the commitment in the first place to make it successful. You can't bail out when things go wrong, or you can't bail out when things are tough. You have to hold in there. Just think about a business person, a businessman. He has invested some money and he wants to see profits. So what's he going to do? He's going to put in the effort, going to be committed, he's going to work his, you know, what can I say, socks off. Why? Because he wants to see return, he wants to see profits, he wants to see a success, he wants his business to do well. So I think about your marriage just like that. You want your marriage to be successful, so that means you have to be committed. And commitment comes from motivation. What was your motivation behind your marriage? Your reason behind why you got married in the first place. That needs to be reviewed. Why? Because that will impact your commitment level. It will help you navigate through the journey of a marital life. Also, it will give you a strong reason to stay in there and work your way through, inshallah. So this is number one thing. Commitment is very important. Every so often, we have to review our commitment level, especially when things are going tough. We have to review our commitment. Why did we get married in the first place? Is it to go together? Is it to have a companion? Is it to, you know, build a family life together? Is it to have a mahram, you know, who I can travel with? Whatever your reasons are, the more reasons you have, the better or the stronger the commitment level. This is something that I have to reiterate again and again. One has to be committed to make the marriage work so that that foundation is strong. So when trouble happens, and believe you me, all marriages will have their share of troubles. If there was one marriage that would have been trouble-free, it would have been the marriage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Ummahatul Mu'mineen. But even then, even there, we see they had issues, they had problems where they had to discuss, and it was very public because Allah was teaching us how to resolve issues that one has within marriage. So there are going to be problems, inshallah, which we will look at later on, but you have to remember that marriage, Allah Azza wa Jalla, when He describes the relationship between husband and wife in the Quran, He talks about the covenant between husband and wife they take is like mithaqan ghaliza. That is a strong covenant. Why? Because this is a covenant that requires a lot of commitment, a lot of seriousness. Just like He described the covenant between the messengers, the five famous messengers who were given the task to deliver the message. And when Allah described the covenant that they took was same, mithaqan ghaliza, like Ibrahim alayhi salam, Nuh alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam. They had a mission, and that mission was to propagate la ilaha illallah, and they could not turn back. They had their share of troubles. So think about it. When Allah mentions the marital covenant, He used the word mithaqan ghaliza, same as when He described the covenant of the messengers when they were sent upon this earth to propagate His message. They were given a strong covenant, and that was described as mithaqan ghaliza. So that just shows how important it is for one to be committed to marriage, for it to work, for it to be successful. Of course, there are going to be challenges, and with all things in life that is of meaning, you know, to us, we know there will be challenges. So that's the first thing that I want to mention. Secondly, I want to mention that when you look at the institution of marriage, one of the things that we find is that the very first relationship Allah established in the heavens and on the earth is that of husband and wife. Allah created Adam alayhi salam, and Adam alayhi salam was the first human being to be created in the heavens. He was by himself. There was no other human beings except himself. He felt lonely, so Allah then created Hawa from his left rib. Why? So that he doesn't feel this sense of loneliness. He has a companion. So Allah Azza wa Jal gave Adam alayhi salam Hawa. Now subhanAllah, some scholars, they mention how the status of such relationship in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal, that he established the relation between husband and wife first in the heavens. As you know the story, what happened when Iblis came, he tried to lure them, and then they were expelled from Jannah on earth. Here you can see that the very first relationship to be established in humanity was that of husband and wife. It shows a great status of this relationship of married couples. So the nature of such relationship is that to fulfill each other, to give each other a sense of belonging. And as you know, every human being, we have this need to be want to be with someone. This is just the way Allah has created us. Wanting to be with someone, needing to be with someone, this aspect of companionship. SubhanAllah, you may not, you know, appreciate, you know, the importance of being together with another person like your husband, or the benefits of companionship until you taste, you know, being lonely. Now, there's this little incident that happened. Usually when we go to family retreat, I would go with my husband and we would travel together. In 2017, I just traveled with my son. My husband wasn't there. He just stayed behind. There was this moment where I just thought, subhanAllah, you know, this is how it must be, you know, like if he's not around, or if he, you know, say, you know, if he passes away or he's not with me. I and him, we usually have our tea time together. So we are checked into the, you know, room, and there's a kettle and there's biscuits, you know, there's shortbread biscuits. And I'm thinking to myself, who am I going to have tea with? Because usually with tea comes chat and then you chill at the same time. My son doesn't really like tea. At the moment, I realized, subhanAllah, sometimes it's the little things that you do that you often miss if you make it into a ritual. So here you can see that the sense of belonging that you have when you have a spouse is that idea that Allah talks about in the Quran, where Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says in Surah Rum that from among his signs is that, you know, he made a spouse from among themselves. Why? لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, so that they can dwell in tranquility. Then he mentions something really beautiful, وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً, and he put between them مَوَدَّةً. مَوَدَّةً is love which is expressed from the word wadud, the name of Allah Azza wa Jal. Al-Wadud, he is most loving. And mercy, rahmah, that he has placed between the two couples. So, of course, these are the things that bind the couples together. And the whole idea is that marriage creates that sense of belonging and companionship. That's the number two thing, that, you know, in marriage, there has to be a level of companionship together so that you come together, there is time for togetherness. Thirdly, there's going to be situation, times where you will disagree, you will have arguments, you will have disputes, you will not see eye to eye. That's okay. Why? Because any person, anyone that you live with, you're bound to have disagreements. It's just one of those things in life. Mothers have disagreements with their daughters, siblings have disagreements. Similarly, husband and wife, you'll have disagreements. And it's not the end of the world that you have disagreements, because all close relationships, they have arguments, misunderstanding, disagreements. But the point is how you deal with these disagreements, how you carry yourself through these disagreements, and what ways you look to resolving these disagreements. That is the testimony of your marriage and how successful it is, inshallah. So these are the three things that I want you to bear in mind. Inshallah, we'll try to come back to it. And during the course of this session, I want to ask you a few questions that maybe you can note down so that you can ask yourself, because a lot of what I would like to encourage is self-reflection, so that there is a change in mindset, and there is introspection, so that we are thinking critically about ourselves. Because the only one that we have full control over to change is ourselves. And it's wonderful. Why? Because when you change something within yourself, then you're actually creating a ripple effect. How is that? So you may change the way you respond to something in your marriage. But that change will create another change. Because you have changed your response, then that change will create another change. Because that response will create a reaction from the other person. Because the other person will be taken back, because obviously you've changed your way. So that change will affect another change. You see, I'm a strong believer in behavior breeding behavior. When you behave in a certain way, then that behavior creates a change in the behaviors of other people. So it's very important that we look at ourselves and the way we are and how we try to go into the marriage. Inshallah, don't treat today's session as like it's one of those sessions that where we hear how to be a good wife and what have you. No, but rather look at it. Okay, you know what? I'm going to try to take control over the marital life that I'm leading. Because remember, marriage is about two people. You are one person and your husband is the other. Often I hear sisters, they say, he does this, he needs to do that, he needs to change. Yes, I agree. However, you can't really control him, or you can't really change him. What you can control, what you can do, is change yourself. Change the way you cope, change the way you behave, change the way you respond, change the way you react to what's happening in your marriage. So the change has to begin within first. Then you will see, inshallah, there will be ripple effect. So when we look at marriage, there is things for a woman to do, there are things for men to do. So when we look at the things that women must do or should do, then that's where we can actually create a change. Because when we look at the expectation that Allah puts, you know, for the man and the woman, we have to look at it like this. It's like a job description where Allah says, okay, women, you know, how does he describe a righteous woman in the Quran? He says, "Salihat, al-qanitat, wal-hafidat." Three words that he mentions with regards to a woman who is righteous and who is a righteous wife. Three qualities he mentions. Okay, so I'm going to focus on these things. Why? Because I am loyal to my servitude to Allah Azza wa Jalla, first and foremost. And yesterday's conversation we were having about our identity, how if we know who Allah is, then we are able to know who we are. If we know who we are, then we are able to fulfill the different rights that we have in our life. So with regards to the rights of our spouse, again, who's teaching us? Allah Azza wa Jalla is teaching us. So in the Quran, in Surah An-Nisa, Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions three qualities: فَالصَّالِحَاتِ وَالْقَانِتَاتِ وَالْحَافِظَاتِ. Three qualities of a righteous wife. That's from Allah Azza wa Jalla, the one who created us. So let me focus on these three words. What do they mean to me? What do they, you know, how can I embody those three qualities that Allah is mentioning? Because I want to be the best in all my relationships, particularly, you know, relationship as a spouse. I want to be the perfect garment for my spouse. But what does it mean? Salihat. So here Allah Azza wa Jalla is number one mentioning how she's righteous. So she's spiritually connected to her Lord. And when you are connected to Allah Azza wa Jalla, you realize your servitude belongs to Him and Him alone. So you will do what He wants you to do. When you become a servant of God, then you realize that your happiness, your contentment lies in His obedience. So Allah would ask you to do certain things. You will do it because you are in service to your Creator. Yeah? Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentions in the Quran that, Ya ayyuhan nas, u'budu rabbakum, O mankind, worship your Lord. Why? Alladhi khalaqakum, because He created you. So when we look at marriage like this, everything that we are doing for our spouse or everything that we are doing in the marriage is in service to our Creator, is to seek the face of Allah Azza wa Jalla, seek the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Then it becomes easy for us to cope with the different pressures that comes our way. So becoming intentional, becoming mindful of why we're doing certain things, because it's very important for us to be mindful of the actions that we engage in, even things like intimacy, especially when it is at a time where you're really, really tired and exhausted, and you're thinking, okay, He's approaching me. At that point in time, when you look at it, you think, okay, His halal means. So you start to reconnect yourself to the higher purpose, and that is fulfilling His rights that Allah has given him. And you also think, you know what, this intimate action is not just one of physical pleasure, it's one that is tied to spirituality as well. Remember the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that I'm going to just quickly narrate, inshallah. This hadith is very interesting. Once what happened, Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, he reported that some of the companion who were poor, they complained to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they said, all the rich companions beating us to it. They pray, they fast, and they give sadaqah. And for the poor companions, they can't give sadaqah because they don't have any money. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what he did, he gave them a way out, and he said, has Allah not prescribed for you a course by following which you can also do, like, meaning when you do your dhikr, your tasbih, this is like sadaqah. Now then what happened? The rich companions, they heard that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had taught them dhikr to do, so they started doing dhikr as well. The poor companions, they complained again, and they said, you know what, they are starting to do the dhikr as well. So they are praying, fasting, giving sadaqah, and they're doing dhikr as well. What to do? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to them that when you go to your wife and you fulfill yourself sexually, in that there is sadaqah. Now the companions were astonished. They said, Ya Rasulallah, we go to our wives, we fulfill ourselves sexually, in that there is charity. We were blown away. The Prophet said, yes, if you were to go to a haram means, you would be punished, you'd be sinful. And of course, they understood that. The Prophet said, because you went to your halal mean and you fulfilled yourself, in that there is sadaqah. So think about yourself at that moment where you're tired, you're exhausted, you're thinking, okay, I'm trying to fulfill his rights. And then you're thinking, sadaqah is what? In essence, what is charity? Charity is giving the one who is in need. Apply that same concept in that moment where your spouse wants certain things, he's in need of that thing, and you are fulfilling him, actually, at that point in time, this is charity from yourself. SubhanAllah, interestingly, sometime when you commit the act for the sake of Allah, you know, because maybe you're tired and exhausted, somehow Allah gives you that ability to perform or to cope so that you are not, you know, overexhausted. Allah gives you because Allah has your back. So again, trying to tie everything so that there is a bigger purpose, bigger picture in mind. So that's something that I would like sisters to bear in mind, that everything that we do, including our marriage, it has to be tied to the greater purpose, and that is the servitude to Allah Azza wa Jal, that we are His servant and we will do right by Him. When we do that, you will see Allah will make a way. Like He says and like He promises in the Quran, وَمَا يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever is conscious of Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah will make a way out for them. So here, with regards to the different demands that we have, Allah will make a way out. However, we have to also be mindful that all the demands that we have in our life, we have to create a balance. There's balance in everything. And again, we learn from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he was a prophet of balance and moderation. Like, you know, the narration that I was mentioning last night of Salman al-Farisi and Abu Darda, when he came to visit, how Salman al-Farisi taught his friend Abu Darda, look, your Lord has a right upon you, your body has a right upon you, and your self has a right upon you, your family has a right upon you. But give everyone their due right. And when the Prophet heard this, he said, Sadaqa Salman. That's one of the key points I find that people miss out in marital life, that when they become married, they consume themselves with husband, you know, house, husband, family, husband, food. That's one aspect of your life. It's not the aspect of your life. Try to retain your individuality. For example, you are yourself. You are an abida, worshipper of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Then you are a family person. So try to create a balance. Sometimes I see sisters in the community, you know, that with all due respect, you know, their hijab is all over the place and they look in a bit of a state. So when you ask them, how are you? You know, yes, I get it. I had a, you know, toddler myself. It's hard, it's difficult. However, you still have to have that time. You have to give to yourself. You have to rest well, eat well. This is not a luxury. This is a necessity. Self-care, taking care of yourself, it's an amana that you owe to yourself. You are responsible for yourself. We have to propagate this in our community because there's no such thing as self-sacrificing. You sacrifice, but you don't self-sacrifice. There has to be, in marriage, a time where you take for yourself, where you refill your cup, you look after yourself, you eat well, you sleep well, you have this mental, you know, health and well-being. Why? Because when you're in a good state, you're in a better position to be a better spouse, not a bitter spouse. So you have to create that time where you rejuvenate. So taking care of yourself physically, mentally, you know, and spiritually, emotionally, all of these things, you have to look after yourself. If you don't, nobody else will. So there has to be a time where you allocate, okay, I need to sleep 6 hours a day or 7 hours a day, whatever. I need to eat certain food, you know, not binge eat. Eat clean food, good food, halal, eat food. It's possible. You see, whatever you see as a priority, as a must, you can create the time to do that. So that's one thing. Then you have the spiritual side of yourself, like the abida, you know, as a believing woman. You can't just say to yourself, I'm just going to quickly pray. No, remember, this is your fuel to cope with the different challenges that comes your way, whether it's marital challenges, parenting challenges, challenges with your career, challenges with your business, whatever it may be, challenges with your dawah. If you don't connect with Allah Azza wa Jal, then you will find that you are not strong enough to cope the different challenges that are coming your way. Because this is like your, you know, you have your phone that you charge regularly. connecting to Allah Azza wa Jalla is your recharge. You need to have that done regularly. It's not something that you just quickly do. No, you take your time in doing. Yeah, so you pray well, you do your salah well. These are the things that makes a huge difference, because you connect to salah and then you have refocus in your marital life. You realize, okay, why am I doing this for? Okay, this is the reason why I'm doing it for. Because your sense of consciousness has increased. Why? Because you have been powered by salah. And this is something that is key to marital bliss, to have constant connection with Allah Azza wa Jal. Why? Because when you have that constant connection with Allah Azza wa Jal, you become mindful of how you behave in your marital life, how you react to situations, and how you respond to problems. Why? Because you are conscious of Allah Azza wa Jal. And I don't mean that just, you know, on a superficial level. On a deeper level, you realize you've been watched. So you're not to just say anything. You're going to be mindful. You're going to think before you speak. Why? Because you know you are being watched by Allah Azza wa Jal. You have that sense of consciousness of Allah Azza wa Jal. Just like in Ramadan, people have heightened sense of awareness of Allah Azza wa Jal because they're fasting. They're connecting with Allah Azza wa Jal. They're praying during the nighttime, they're fasting during the daytime, and they're reciting the Quran. They are on a higher level. So therefore, their behavior is somewhat self-governed. Why? Because they have that connection with Allah Azza wa Jal. So think about it. If you continue to retain that connection, then the way you deal with the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal will be affected, will be impacted. That is, for a believing woman, one key aspect of art of marriage, to be connected to Allah Azza wa Jal. I remember one of the sheikh was saying that, you know, marriage is like a love triangle. And he described it so beautifully. He said, the more you love and go close to Allah Azza wa Jal, the more the other spouse, you know, tries to do the same thing, the more closer you are to Allah Azza wa Jal, more close you become to each other, because your common ground is Allah Azza wa Jal. So the more you are serving Allah, going closer to Allah, the more you are coming closer to your spouse, and the less difference you have between you and him. Why? Because your common goal, your objective is Allah Azza wa Jal. As you're journeying towards him, you are not just going towards Allah, you're going towards each other as well. I thought that was quite beautiful, mashallah. And an extension of that, I would say, one of the ways to kind of create that spiritual intimacy is, you know, pray with your spouse. You know, do something that is spiritual with your spouse, like read with your spouse or share a hadith with your spouse. What you learned today or other days when you attend the halaqah, you know, try to share some gems that you have learned, so that there is coming together, inshallah, and sharing different gems together, so that you can both grow together and not leave each other behind. Naima, is there any way that we can ask sisters to give their comments if I wanted to ask a question?
Certainly, we've got the patrons in the VIP room. They can hear you, they can comment. Just tell them what you want them to say. They can contribute in the chat, and I can also pay attention. I can keep an eye on the Facebook as well. What would you like from us?
So one of the things that I wanted to ask the sisters, what they think that the number one thing that brother wants from them.
Oh, as in what does your number one thing that your husband wants from you? Is that correct?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, ladies, get those thinking caps on. What is the number one thing that your husband wants from you? And the timer starts now. Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. Okay, answers are coming. Can you see the chat? Are you able to see what people are saying?
Yes, respect, support. Okay, anything else? A homely companion. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Facebook takes a couple of seconds delayed. So it will take a bit of time for Facebook people to respond. Okay, I've got peace of mind coming up in Facebook. Respect. Mm-hmm. Respect. Okay, affection.
Complimentary support. Okay, very good.
Respect and support.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And loyalty there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, somebody says to just be happy with everything he does and not complain about anything. I think there's some tongue-in-cheek going on there. Peaceful home, attention. They want independence and personal space.
Okay. Yes, I think they're all very good suggestions, mashallah. Once the survey and in the community, a lot of the things that brothers want is respect, and of course this is quite a common thing that we hear in our community, but what does respect look like in reality? What does it mean to respect him? How does this look on a day-to-day life? What does this look like? What do we mean by respect in the context of marriage?
I think we've got some here where they're saying basically to be obedient and trust him and not talk back, to not mother him. What else have I got here? Again, the being happy about everything he does and not complaining. Mm-hmm. What else do you think respect means, ladies? What does respect look like for your man? Submission, somebody has said.
Mm-hmm. Understand his expectation, respect for himself, okay? Respect his role as the leader in the family and cooperate with him, okay? To undermine him, mm-hmm. Taking his advice and suggestions. Okay.
So if we can just go over those again, Talha, because then the people in Facebook will hear what is being said that you're reading. So you've got respecting his role as the leader in the family, cooperating with him, understanding his authority and allowing him to fail. That's an interesting one. Not undermining him, taking his advice and suggestions, supporting him in public, respecting his decisions and his ability to direct the family, or accepting him for who he is and showing that you value his opinions. Somebody else says submission, letting him lead. And in Facebook, I've got trusting his decisions and judgment. Someone says agree to everything he says. Mm-hmm. Someone says not to patronize. Another response is to hold him in high regard. Mm-hmm. Somebody else says not to know better. Mm, okay. So, okay. Yeah.
It's interesting because obviously sometimes one word has so many different interpretations and it has so many different meanings, as we have seen, people giving in their feedback with regards to what does it mean to respect. Now, the thing is, you have to figure out within your marriage what it means to him to feel respected. Yeah, that's very key. In knowing, okay, how does he feel respected? What does it mean to him to be respected? It will vary from marriage to marriage, from men to men. The key thing is having a sense of respect present in the marriage. Why? Because don't forget, if you have children, they're observing you and your husband. They're actually taking you guys as a guide to being, husband and wife. They're learning from your examples. So whether you like it or not, whatever you do in your marriage, you actually role modeling for your children and the future generation. So you have to bear in mind it's a big responsibility because you're not just living your life and working things out, you're also role modeling to your children as well. And that's why often you would find brothers who say, for example, a typical example I will give, if they see their fathers disrespecting or speaking in a certain way with their mother, they will just repeat that Why? Because that's all they know. That's all they see to be normal. So they will try to mimic their father in their marriage, you know, and the pattern continues. And unless he knows better, then he does better. So, and same with the sister. If she sees her mother, you know, talking back and being disregarding of her father, she would think this is just normal. So when she comes to a marriage, she may have a husband who is really respected by his family members, his sisters, and he may, you know, speak to her in an authoritative way because that's what he's used to, because his female relatives, they regard him, they respect him. His wife has seen something different. His wife has seen his mother speaking back, and it's no big deal, and it's just, you know, business as usual. So she may just, as her mother has done, I hope you get the idea. So she will say certain things and not think too much of it. She might think, what's the big deal? For him, it's a big deal because he's come from a certain background. She's come from a certain background. But together, they have to understand, okay, what does it mean? And that would require both of them to have a discussion and have honest conversation and say, look, when you do this, I feel disrespected. When that is done, I feel quite humiliated. And has to be that conversation taking place so that both can understand what it means to the other person to be respected or to feel disrespected. So they have to work out between themselves, because respect, it varies from family to family, from cultures to cultures. You know, in some culture, if you speak to them eye to eye, this is seen as disrespectful. In other cultures, if you don't make eye contact, it's seen as disrespectful. So hope you get the idea. Yes, we know men, they like to feel respected, and you know, women, you know, we also like to be respected in the way we are, you know, received with regards to our views and opinions. No one likes to be respected, actually. So if you foster a culture, a marriage of respect, then inshallah, both of you will benefit from such quality in the marriage. You have to understand, what does it mean to each other to be respected? So what does respect look like, you know, on a like a practical level? I'm just going to go over some of the points, and inshallah, feel free to, you know, add your own in your notes, or if you want to share, you can share as well. So part of being respectful is, you know, allowing him to express himself without, you know, putting his views down, or, you know, laughing at, you know, his views. I'm not saying women all do that, but I'm saying it can happen. And because I'm addressing women, that's why I'm going to focus on women, inshallah, because that's the audience that I'm speaking to. So, you know, allowing him to express, and sometimes I think, oh, this is such a ridiculous, you know, suggestion that he's making. Yes, you can, you know, think that, but not expressing it, because you know what, at that time, you know, he is trying to lead. Just imagine you're going on a car journey and you think, oh my God, you know, he's taking the wrong turning. Sometimes, you know, just enjoy the ride. Let him take the wrong turning. Why? Because some people, it's just the way they are wired, and they don't like to be told. Some men may like to be told. But, you know, you, if you know that if you try to mother him or try to, you know, lead him, it will aggravate him. Khalas, leave it. You know, just let him take the wrong way and, you know, just enjoy the journey and enjoy the ride. That's one thing that, you know, you can bear in mind. If you know that he would not like you to tell him, or, you know, like everyone has ego issue, everyone has the way things, then, you know, just stop yourself. But sometimes try not to be too helpful. Why? Because it make him feel in a certain way. Just be honest and frank. Another thing with regards to respect, say for example, you know, you're speaking about his family. Nobody likes to hear bad things about their family. At the same time, if there's a grievance that you need to express, you can say, you know what, a certain member of family made me feel like this. You can focus on the way you're feeling rather than who's doing what and what have you. Why? Because don't forget, at the end of the day, that is his family, and it will impact him. Just like you don't like to hear things about your family, same. It's not nice for him to hear things about his family, or your mother did this, your father did this, your sister did this. Rather than looking at who did what. Focus on, when that was said to me, I felt a bit, you know, undervalued, or I felt a bit sad, or I felt a bit, you know, targeted. So focus on yourself so that you're not seen blameworthy in attacking his side of the family, because obviously part of respecting him is also respecting his family. Another thing is, when you are, you know, trying to deal with his property, his belonging, try to be mindful that this is your husband's, you know, property, and you are like his guardian. So part of being a, you know, a righteous woman is that you are safeguarding your family's property, and that means his property. Like Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, you know, فَالصَّالِحَاتِ قَانِتَاتِ is obedient and hafizat, the one who guards his property, guards herself, her chastity. So these are the ways that respect, you know, look like. And of course, you would have your own way. Another thing that often happens, I know a lot of sisters who are grown up in this, you know, say, society, myself included, sometimes to ask, you know, permission to do certain things or to consult with our spouse could be a big thing, because we may come from a background where we didn't have, you know, father figures around to ask, can I do this, can I do that? We just told our mothers that, okay, we're doing this, we're doing that. When you get married, it can be very difficult to a point to ask someone like your husband, can I do this or can I do that? Or is it okay if I go around here? Is it okay to go around there? But you have to realize that it's part of courtesy to inform one another of your whereabouts. Just like you would want to know where he's at or where he's gone. Similarly, it's only right that he knows where you are, where you're going. And there needs to be that discussion so that, you know, it's not like coming as a surprise. So as you're living together, there has to be a communication of people's whereabouts. What are you doing? Just running by, you know, him so that he's aware of what you're up to and you're also aware of what he's up to as well. This is also part of respect. And sometimes it could be that he doesn't want you to go somewhere, maybe because of, you know, safety reasons or whatever. You have to respect that. Like, you know, during the pandemic, you know, some families are very strict with regards to, you know, social distancing than other families. So say, for example, if you're making plans and, you know, he is not happy that you're going ahead and, you know, mixing with, say, you know, some families because it's not the right time to do so. So in this situation, you have to be mindful of what he wants from you. Personally, I was invited to a couple of, you know, weddings this month. And my husband is very strict with regards to social distancing. So I thought in my mind, okay, I'm going, because obviously I'm not going to miss out on a party. However, when I mentioned it to him, you know, he was like, no, I don't think you're going, Rizzi, because it's not safe. And, you know, with social distancing, there could be a second wave and what have you. I didn't like the decision. However, I know he means well, you know, because you have to look at the bigger picture. Why? Because when sometimes spouse, they have, you know, reservation in you doing something, you shouldn't think, like, why not? What, you know, why this? Rather, you should try to look at the bigger picture. Okay, why is he asking me not to go? Why doesn't he want me to go? Then try to, you know, resolve the issue like this and not create unnecessary drama. Because in hindsight, you know, I understood he wants me to be safe so that, you know, I don't put myself in risk. And obviously with parties and weddings and stuff like that, you can't control, because obviously there are going to be so many guests and things. So sometimes, you know, situations like that, if you don't understand where they're coming from, it can create a conflict, it can create unnecessary drama and can cause a lot of problem. I hope I'm making sense. So these are some of the examples I have given so that we can understand what does respect look like. Of course, you have to figure out within yourself. That's one thing. Secondly, in marriage, there has to be that, a channel of way to express yourself. Expressing yourself so that he knows what you desire, your wishes, your needs, and expressing your love for him and regard for him. And when you do that, you'll find that there will be a deep level of intimacy. You see, sometimes, we have this notion that sisters, you just have to put up with whatever. No, there are moments where you can express your desire. Maybe you want to go out for a walk. Maybe you want to go on a holiday. You can just express and say, I wish I could go on holiday. This is non-demanding way, but just letting him know, this is what I would like to do. Usually men are more than happy to facilitate for their wives and do the thing that they feel is going to bring happiness. But the problem lies, we just expect our husbands to mind read. The thing is, he doesn't know what's in here. We have to verbalize it in here. And that means we have to express it in the way that he will understand. Okay, I want to do this. So maybe, you want to go for a meal out. Yeah. Especially now there's this offer of, 50%, the government is trying to help out with the restaurant. Maybe you want to go out for a nice meal. Say to him, oh, you know what? I love to go out for a meal and, have a night out. Say to him so that he knows. Yeah. And when he knows, believe you me, you will see that he will try to facilitate it as much as he can. Also, say you want to do certain things with him. Like, for example, you want to go jogging with him, or you want to spend an evening with him, or you want to, go for a drive with him. Whatever you fancy, express it to him. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you and I, we went out for a night walk, or we went out for, a jog, or we went out for a drive? Just express it to him so that he knows. You see, sisters have one idea of doing certain things. They just expect, from what I have seen in the community, the husband to know. The thing is, he won't know until you tell him what you want. Like a typical example comes to mind. When you send your husband for shopping, you write down certain list on the shopping list, and he will get you what he thinks you wanted. Like once what happened, I wrote down mackerel, finest mackerel. I wanted a tin mackerel, but he got me the fresh mackerel, and I was thinking to myself, oh my god, I didn't want this, I wanted tin mackerel. When I said to him, well, why did you get this? He said to me, well, you didn't specify you wanted tin mackerel. So I thought, yeah, that's true. I just thought he would know. But because I changed the brand, and that's when the confusion happened, so he thought maybe I wanted fresh mackerel. So similarly, men, they can't read our minds. So if you want certain things, we have to verbalize. So expressing our desire, our needs, and our love. One of the ways that we can express our love for them is, showing them our love for them. So that could be like the way we serve them, and here is where I would like to bring in the, five languages of love by Dr. Gary Chapman. It's fantastic because it really teaches people how to show their love language so that their spouse can understand that they mean love, because different people have different ways of expressing love and showing love and understanding love. So expressing your love for him, you feel that, he's taking such good care of you. So therefore, you want to show him that you love him for taking care of you. So it could be that, you spend quality time with him, because this is the five languages love, is quality time, affirmation of words, giving gifts, physical touch, and service, khidma. All of it is found in our deen and our tradition. So feel like he's taking such good care of you. Express it, show him that you really love him and you cherish him. How are you going to do this? Way he understands it. But what does it make him, feel loved and cherished? Maybe, like giving him a nice meal, because It's true, a way to a man's, you know, heart is through his stomach. Certainly, you know, my man, alhamdulillah. So the things that will bring him joy and happiness, and the way to do that is showing and expressing love. And that's why, subhanAllah, in the ayah in Surah Rum, Allah mentions mawadda, love that which is expressed. Because sometimes you may have a person who loves another person, but they don't know that they love each other. We know from the prophetic tradition, if you love a person, you should tell that person, I love you. So that the person knows. You're not double guessing, does he love me, does he not love me? But similarly, in marriage, when you love a person, tell him. Tell him that, you know, I really love you. You know, I really cherish the time we have together. You might think, oh, this is a bit, you know, cheesy. It's okay to be cheesy. You know, sometimes we need words like this. Why? Because it makes us feel a sense of belonging. Good words, again, like charity. Every good word you spend on your family, it's like charity at home. So use it and spend it. Why? Because you will benefit your home. The language that you use in your home is not just for you and him. It's also to create a culture for your family members. When the children see that mom is saying to dad, I love you, or I really appreciate what you do for me, or thank you for, you know, taking us out, children are learning. They're learning how to express gratitude, learning how to express love. So your words is going long way. It's not just expressing to him that you love him, it's also teaching the young ones how to be with their loved ones. So this is something that I would really encourage, you know, with regards to men. They have different ways of, showing and understanding love. Understand spouse's love language. Have a conversation. What makes you feel loved, you know? Have a discussion so that he knows, okay, my wife is trying to do this. And conversation is a very good way of understanding and reading each other. Because when you read each other, then you can actually serve each other in the best way and fulfill each other. And that's something that I think couples don't do enough of. Having the time to converse. Of course, it doesn't happen in vacuum. You have to create a time where you come together. And one of the things that I think is really good is if couples find a time of coming together. It could be tea time. It could be after the kids have been put to sleep. It could be early morning, breakfast time. Whatever the time is suitable for you and him, try to find a time together. And one of the fabulous time I feel is eating time together. So when you eat together, you can, you know, spend time together and you can have that kind of connection with each other as well. And also express your love for one another by cooking nice meal that he enjoys. Because these are the things that creates a house into the home. To take delight in it, you know, sometimes you may be very pleased with your husband because he's been so good. Show it to him, express it to him. How are you going to do this? Through the love language. It could be that you cook his favorite meal, and believe me, these small gestures, they go a long way. It shows them that you care for him, you love him, you cherish him. And you know, when a person feels like this, they want to give and do and perform more. You want more, because the more the better. So expressing is very important. Thirdly, in marriage, there has to be that sense of appreciation. When you appreciate your spouse, whatever little or more he does, then you will see that appreciation will increase whatever goodness that he's given to you. And subhanAllah, with regards to this point of appreciation, we find there is a lot of emphasis in our faith. Once what happened, Asma radiallahu anha, she says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he passed by a group of women and he said to them, beware of ingratitude of those with blessings. This group of women were a bit surprised. What did they say? They said, Ya Rasulallah, we seek refuge from ingratitude for the blessings. But then the Prophet ﷺ, he said, yes, one of you women might have been without a husband for a long time. And then Allah provides her with one. And then she becomes angry and says, by Allah, I have never seen an hour of good from you. This is ingratitude for the blessings of Allah. This is the ingratitude of those with blessings. Here the Prophet ﷺ is teaching, and this is a hadith in Sahih by Sheikh Al-Albani. So here you can see that the Prophet ﷺ, when he passed by this group of women, he is saying to them, and of course the Prophet ﷺ, he wanted the best for humanity, men and women. But he's saying to them, beware of ingratitude. When the women asked, what is ingratitude? The Prophet ﷺ said that, you know, you could be, you know, without a spouse, and then Allah blesses you with your spouse until one day you say, your spouse, I have seen no good from you. And subhanAllah, how is this done in modern times? Sometimes, say for example, going back to the example of shopping, you might send your husband shopping and he may bring things and it's not to your satisfaction. You might say, a woman might say, you never get things right. Yeah, easily said. It just rolls off the tongue. But that's not true. He does do things right. It's just on that occasion. Yeah. Again, here, I'm just talking about introspection. When you say things like this, it shows ingratitude. All of us are guilty of it. You know, why are we focusing on this? Because this is done so easily. And what happens when we are ungrateful? This is a blameworthy characteristic. And all of us, we fall into it. You know, we become grateful so easily. And when you see that quality, say for example in children, how do you feel? You don't feel like doing things for the child. Imagine how the husband must feel, you know. So obviously we're looking at today's session, you know, to better ourselves. Yeah, so here, next time, you know, something goes wrong, bite your tongue and think, okay, alhamdulillah, at least he got the shopping, or at least I have some shopping, so that you don't step into a blameworthy situation. Because after all, we are mindful of the way we behave. Why? Because when we behave in a certain way, whose records of deeds are we filling? Not his, ours. Our book of deeds are being filled with ingratitude. We have to be mindful and we have to stop. We have to take account. We have to be better. Why? Because this book of deeds will be presented to us on that day. We don't want to be regretful. We don't want to be distraught by looking at this book and thinking, مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً أَوْ كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا. What is this book? It doesn't leave small or big, except it's calculated in it. So with regards to this quality, I have to highlight that sisters, we all can fall into it so easily. Try to stop yourself and express gratitude. So it could be that, you know, he's taking you out for that meal. You expressed after that, you know, meal, say to him, you know, Jazakallahu khairan, thank you very much. If we do things like this for our friends or sisters, why can't we do that for our spouse? You know, thanking him, sending him a text, or saying to him, you know, I really enjoy that meal. Thank you for taking me, you know. Because when you do this, what is it telling him? It's telling him that you enjoyed it and he would love to see you, you know, enjoy yourself. But maybe he will repeat it again. You know, in psychology, we know that if you give attention to certain action, then most likely this action will be repeated, you know, a positive reinforcement. So appreciation can be in different ways. Another thing that we can focus on with regards to gratitude is, say for example, your husband gives you a gift. One of the ways to appreciate it is not to exchange that gift. You know, sometimes, you know, we have examples where a husband would buy a gift. You think, okay, you know, it's not what I wanted. I'm going to go and exchange the gift, you know. Don't do that. You know, the fact that he's bought you a gift, keep it, you know. Of course, if there's size issues, then no problem, but don't exchange for something else, because it's showing him that this is not, you know, worthy of you, or this is not good enough for you. and that will discourage him to buy another gift for you. One of the ways to appreciate is to enjoy the gift and wear it and to thank him for it and show it off so that he knows that, you know, you approve of his gift, you know. Sometimes he may choose things that are like, you know, household items, like in pans or dress or jewelry, something that you already have. You know what? Cherish it so that, you know, he knows that you are appreciative of it. Small things, you know, that will create a connection. So the next time he sees something, he will have the confidence to buy it for you because he knows that whatever he buys for you, you will appreciate it and you will enjoy it and you will wear it. So therefore, it will encourage him to buy more for you, inshallah. Another way of appreciating is just being with him. Just appreciate his time with you. And when he's with you, don't nag at him. Don't say things like, oh, you know what? Remember that you said this to me, that to me. When you're with him, think, when you're with your friends, what do you talk about? You talk about things that brings you joy, brings you happiness. You laugh, you joke, you talk about funny stories. You talk about moments when you guys were crazy. You talk about different things that's going on in the community, you know? So the company is one that you enjoy. Similarly, when your husband comes home, don't create an atmosphere where you're just talking about all the doom and gloom things that has been going on. The child has become sick. This has happened, that has happened. Yes, I know, this has happened. However, don't make the center of your conversation all doom and gloom. Yeah? Don't forget, while you were at work, while you were at home, he was not just playing. He was at work too, yeah, generally speaking. So when you're coming together, try to have a new topic to talk about where you both are feeling refreshed and it's a warm, you know, conversation to get into, an adult conversation to get into. So have that kind of, you know, time of intimacy where you are talking and discussing about you and him, not about the kids, not about the bills, not about household chores, just about how you're feeling. You know, you could talk about how the day's been. You could talk about how he has been or what happened at work. And, you know, have a mature conversation. And believe you me, you will create a world where you will have, you know, comfort and emotional support for one another if you try to understand how each other's are doing, you know. And, of course, this does take time and effort and energy. I get that. So we have to kind of prepare ourselves so that there is that time and effort and energy and that kind of real connection. And you know, when couples have that real connection, you will see that whatever life throws at them, they will try to tackle it together. Why? Because they have that emotional intimacy. They are together. They have that, you know, support system from each other. There was this, you know, video clip about a couple who stayed married for more than 50 years. So the interviewer was asking them, what is the secret to your long lasting marriage? And subhanAllah, what happened? The lady fell ill, so she had to be hospitalized. So the man, the husband, he followed suit because he wanted to be with her, but he got himself admitted to the same hospice. So that admission made a difference to the woman's health. She became a bit more better in her health and well-being. So both of them were admitted in the same hospice. And subhanAllah, this couple, they won the award for being married for a long period of time. So when they shared their secrets or, you know, the reasons that has kept married together for such a long time, they said that one of the things that they feel was really important to keeping their marriage successful and happy and long-lasting was that togetherness, that they were always staying and being together, you know, creating a world where there was a sense of companionship. You know, even in the old age, when the woman got hospitalized, the husband followed suit. He got himself, you know, admitted to the hospital. Why? Because he wanted to be near his wife, subhanAllah. Now, think about it. How many husbands would do that? Admit themselves into the hospital just so that they can be with their wife. Now, subhanAllah, it was really nice to watch that both of these couples, they had this emotional intimacy. You know, they were really connected with each other, you know, hand in hand, holding, you know, each other. And this doesn't come about, you know, overnight. It comes about slowly, but, you know, surely and gradually. And how do you think it comes about? It comes about by small efforts from both parties, you know, coming together. And that's why it's really important that couples, they make sure daily, you know, they try to come together. If the husband works out of town, then maybe daily you can call him and say, oh, you know, how was your day? You know, what did you do? You know, what did you eat? Small gestures like this keeps us connected. And this connection is very meaningful. Why? Because it will carry you through your difficulties in your life. So togetherness is very, very important. And having that time to connect with one another. And of course, you have to show that you appreciate one another when you come together and not just complain about this, that, the other. Sometimes sisters, you know, they would be, say, for example, you know, with their spouse and they're on the phone, you know. Opposite is true, but obviously I'm not speaking to the brothers, I'm speaking to the sisters. When you're with your spouse, put the phone away, you know, speak to him, look at him, smile at him, connect with him, so that he knows that you're fully present and available, and he is able to see that and feel that. So your presence is showing him that you appreciate the time he is with you. So these are some of the ways that I feel that we can have a deeper connection. Sometimes, you know, you may find that, okay, you want to speak to him. So, you know, you can say to him, you know, I want to speak to you, and have that moment where you can connect with him. I cannot stress the point of, you know, having that intimate connection with him, not just a connection in the bedroom, but connection on an emotional level, so that you know what's happening in his world, you know, and he knows what's happening in your world. And there is that sense of coming together. And subhanAllah, you know, in the community I have seen before, couple, they separate physically, there is emotional separation, meaning they create their own little world where they are living in one world and their husband is living in another world. And when they come together, it's just for logistics, like, you know, the bills, the children, the, you know, groceries. This is not marriage. This is just like, you know, living as, you know, flatmates. Marriage is one where you share your, you know, painful moments, your you know, pleasure, your happy times, your sad times, your difficult times, your easy time. And it's a time where you have the support of each other. That's not going to come just like this. It's going to come when you try to foster that connection between you and your husband. So one of the things that I think it's very important for us to in our marriage is, you know, the roles and responsibilities. It's a big one, and we discussed that yesterday. One other thing I find is causing a lot of problems in certain marriages is the different roles and responsibilities that people have. And of course, we live in a time where some roles are being shared and the expectation is a bit blurred. It's very important that you understand what does he expect from you and what are your expectations from him, so that you can manage your expectation in a very realistic way. Now, as for your role as a wife, of course, you are means towards his happiness. We find in a very, very beautiful hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he teaches the companions about things that brings, you know, happiness to a man. So there are four things a woman, you know, is married for. We know the hadith that she's married for wealth, lineage, beauty, and religion. Now the Prophet said, marry the one with religion. Why? Because that woman with religion, she will bring in her faith into the marriage, and she will beautify your marriage with regards to her religious understanding. She will do things by her faith, and that will benefit you. Also, we know there are four things that are part of a happiness for a man. What are they? A spacious house, a good neighbor, a comfortable ride, and subhanAllah, a righteous woman. So you can see how women have a lot of power to create happiness in the life of a man. And one of the ways that we do this is by our faith, because our faith helps us to navigate different challenges in our marital life. And it gives us the understanding of how to be a perfect spouse to the best of our ability. Why? Because this life is not just, you know, lived and that's it. No, this life is like a garden where we are sowing the seeds, and whatever good seeds that we sow, inshallah, with good intention and with good effort, we will harvest in the hereafter. So therefore, we have to be mindful. Okay, you know, let me sow this, you know, seed. Let me sow that seed. Why? That on the day of judgment, we are, inshallah, happy and, you know, pleased. And that's why we have hadith like where the Prophet said, if a woman, you know, prays her 5 daily salah, fast in the month of Ramadan, guards her chastity and obeys her husband, she'll be told through any gates you wish. Why? Because when you obey your husband, you are actually fulfilling one of the commands of Allah Azza wa Jalla. It's not just like a blanket rule. Of course, you speak to him, you can understand there's a room for negotiation. But the point here is you accept that there is a hierarchy in marriage. And that hierarchy is that Allah has put the man in charge, and then you, and then your children. So, therefore, there has to be a respect for authority and respect for leadership. It's like, you know, when you see in a company, if you have your boss, you're not going to speak to him in a certain way. You have to be mindful, okay, there is a hierarchy in place, and I have to be mindful of that. And this is not being servant to the boss, it's looking at the higher purpose, and that is Allah Azza wa Jal, trying to create harmony and a system so that there is peace and tranquility in the family life. Because if there's two bosses, then of course there'll be conflict and there will be chaos. So Allah has put the man in charge, provided he is doing his part and he is responsible, he is the maintainer, and then the wife and the children. So there is that kind of beautiful system that Allah has put, and we're trying to operate in that system so that there is harmony. And I know many a times, you know, myself included, growing up in this society, it has had an influence in the way we have dealt with our, say, role. Sometimes it's difficult to ask our staff, you know, can I do this or can I do that? But you know what? It's just courtesy to run it by him so that there is peace and there's no, like, tension in the home or conflict. Because when there's conflict, it's not just you and him that suffers. Everyone suffers. The children get involved and they see there is tension in the family home. So with this, inshallah, I want to go into the conflict. When there's conflict, Naima, how are we doing for time? Naima?
Are doing okay, alhamdulillah. We should wrap up really within the next 10 minutes if possible. Are we, how far are we with the Art of Marriage presentation?
Okay, I've got the last section to do and then we are done.
Okay, khair. Because the next one is at 4. So, okay. In the next 10 minutes, inshallah, khair.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, with regards to conflicts, I think sometimes when there is conflict, there are going to be words that are said, and sometimes we may feel hurt and say things that we may later regret. One of the things that I really recommend is when there are conflicts, you know, if you've got too much emotions going, it's better for you to just, you know, just not say much, because then you would have saved yourself from a lot of harm. Sometimes, you know, when we are in a state of, you know, anger or there's a lot of emotions, we may say things that may roll off our tongue and that may not be good for us. So it's better for us to just, you know, quiet and just, you know, have that space between you and him. Because very often we find people when they say, you know, things like, you know what, he divorced me and he was angry. Of course, no one's surprised that, you know, a person divorces while they're in the state of anger, because that's when you lose control of what you're saying, because the, you know, shaitan has a lot of stronghold on you. So one of the things that I think would be good is to remain quiet when there's a lot of, you know, rage, and look at the prophetic description, you know, of if you're standing, then sit down. If you're sitting down, if not helping, then lie down. Meaning, like, try to diffuse the situation and try to understand the triggers. What's causing the conflict in the first place? You know, every relationship, there are certain triggers, meaning the cause of the conflict. What causes the conflict? Could be that, you know, it's something that he doesn't like, or something that, you know, you don't like, or something that is, you know, to do with the in-laws, or sometime it could be misunderstanding. If this could be a plain misunderstanding, when you understand the conflict, then it helps you to see how to resolve the conflict in the best possible way. One of the ways of resolving the conflict is to have that time out for yourself, just to kind of reflect what has happened. You know, where did I go wrong? Here, try to be objective and really analyze your part. You know, is it something that requires you to apologize? Is it something that maybe you misunderstood? Or is it something that, you know, he misunderstood? Try to understand the case, the situation for what it is. And please avoid getting other people involved. Why do I say this? Because when you get others involved, it's like you're spreading the fire, you know, and when you spread the fire, it's hard to contain and minimize the damage. Because the more people know, the more people would have more say in this matter, and you know, it will escalate unnecessarily. So try to contain the matter within you and him. If you see that the matter is getting out of hand, it's not resolving, it's getting more serious, then you can ask or you can seek advice from somebody that you respect, meaning somebody who has your best interest at heart and somebody who is fit, competent to give you advice. You know, it could be the local, you know, sheikh that you go to, you trust. It could be that you go to your teacher. It could be that you go to a senior relative who is fair and just. You're seeking counsel and advice from somebody who can give you a bit of objectivity in the matter, because it could be that you are in the situation, you can't see things for what it is, so you need, you know, some, you know, introspection and some objectivity in what's going on. If that happens, then obviously try to seek advice and try to implement whatever is recommended. Now, if you feel that, okay, this still is not helping the situation, what do I do? Of course, you have to get him on board. Maybe there's a problem on his side. Maybe he needs to do something. He needs to change, you know, his way. In that situation, you could say to him, look, clearly it's not working, or clearly we are having some problems that we are unable to resolve within ourselves. Then let's, you know, go and see someone that we are both happy with. You know, usually I find men do not like to take matters outside of their home. It could be a pride thing, it could be an ego thing, it could be just man thing. You have to respect that, because you can't, you know, force him to go into something. It's just not going to happen and it's not going to work. You and him both have to be happy to go to the mediator so that the problem can be discussed in, you know, an objective way. And these are the ways that you can, inshallah, you know, tackle your conflict and manage the conflict in the best possible way. Now, before you get to that stage where you have to go to mediation or Muslim counselor, you know, or whoever you feel is right to deal with your marital issues and problems, there are certain things that you can do at home in the earlier stages that can reconcile the relationship or mend the, you know, relationship so it doesn't get bad to worse. One of the ways is that, you know, say for example, if you're at that reflection point where you realize, okay, I shouldn't have done that, I shouldn't have said this, you know, maybe I should have rephrased it like this, or it was my bad, you know, I should have, you know, held my tongue back. You know, mistakes happen. We all do things that we regret later on. You know, there's nothing to stop you from saying to him, you know what, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. You know, acknowledging your mistakes and your shortcomings and apologizing. Why? Because you will see that that apology will reconcile the matter. After you have reconciled the matter, if you feel that there has to be something on his side that he needs to change, you can say, by the way, when you said this, that, the other to me, I don't think it was right because I was hurt. You can express your view afterwards, you know, or if you feel it's, you know, right time to express it before that, you can. Why am I mentioning this? You see, it's very important as women, we express ourselves so that the other person knows how we are feeling and not feel this is something that, you know, I don't want to say because it's going to upset him. Yes, it's going to upset him, but it's also upsetting me as well. And I really believe strongly a healthy relationship is one where both parties express each other so the other party knows how they're feeling. You know, successful marriage is not just about him having his needs met. Or it's not about her having her needs met, her wishes met. No, it's about both parties fulfilling each other and having both, you know, have their needs met. That's a good, healthy, successful marriage. And both of the parties have to help one another in doing that. Like Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, وَتَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. Help one another in goodness and good consciousness. So if you feel that there is some things that he needs to change, you know, because it affects you, it hurts you, then you need to express that to himself and say, please, you know, this really upsets me when you do this. So there is a dialogue between you and him, and you know, conflicts, it's not all bad. Sometimes conflicts are good. It's a bit like spring cleaning. You know, when your house, you know, it's really dirty, you need to spring clean. When you have conflict, it's a bit like some issues brewing, you know, underneath, and you know, it's brewing, it's there, the tension is building up, and then boom, you have a conflict. But when you have a conflict, everything comes out, you know, all feelings are coming out, all emotions are coming out. And sometimes it's needed for conflicts to happen so you can restart and refresh your relationship and address these matters that were brewing underneath and, you know, have a way to resolve them. And sometimes, you know, it needs a conflict, you know, for it to happen so that you can discuss these issues that was in the back burner and it was brewing away. So conflicts can be quite healthy at times because it helps both parties know this is something that, you know, upsets her, or this is something that annoys him, and we have to look towards, you know, resolving it so that it doesn't aggravate, you know, each other. Because the objective of marital bliss is what? You know, there is a sense of peace and tranquility between, you know, husband and wife. And that is something, you know, Islam propagates, you know, Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. So there is repose, tranquility, peace found in that companionship. And of course, it's not going to be found just like that. There is going to be work that needs to be put in. And one of the things that I would say is being married for a long period of time, alhamdulillah, has taught me that there has to be ways and times for one to compromise. And compromise is something that you have to be mindful of and be willing to do. Not a compromise where you are always losing and just giving in. No, a healthy compromise where, you know, you're both meeting together. Like I mentioned yesterday, which is quite interesting, you know, sometimes some compromises that, you know, if you're really passionate about something, then you take the other person on your side and the other way around as well. And some, you know, issues, it could be that you don't see eye to eye, but then you can revisit it, you know, agree to disagree. So compromise is part and parcel of a happy marriage. And lastly, with everything that I have said, is that a good, healthy marriage requires a dose of patience. It requires a lot of patience. Why? Because there are certain things, you know, you'll find in your marriage that irritate you. You know, does it mean that, you know, you're just going to walk out? No, you're just going to look at the bigger picture. You know, there are good things, you know, in him. There are bad things in him. There are good things in me, and there are bad things in me. Therefore, you know, you have to, you know, just tolerate the bad thing, because obviously everyone, we all have weaknesses, you know. It's like he's tolerating your weaknesses. You have to tolerate his weaknesses, you know. And we all have it. So we have to have that element of patience. Interestingly, those elderly couples, one of the things that they were mentioning, the non-Muslim, the Christian couples, was that due to their success, you know, in marriages, that they were, you know, spending time together, a compromise, and they had become patience with one another. And subhanAllah, you know, our faith teaches us that patience, you know, is to faith what head is to the body. So we know that any relationship, you know, you will have ups and downs. And it's not the fact that you're having ups and downs, it's how you resolve, how you deal with these ups and downs. And patience is a great aspect of coping with the challenges of such relationships, inshallah. So, Naima, I think I will end here, unless if there's any questions or maybe discussion, or sisters want to contribute anything, then inshallah we can talk about that.
SubhanAllah, we have Jazakallah Khairan firstly for that very comprehensive rundown of, you know, the arts of marriage. I think my favorite one is, I've coined it, but it was what you said about treating your time with your husband as you do with your friends in terms of what you choose to talk about. So my thing is keep it cute, or put it on mute. So I put that in the group. Okay, so we've got a couple of questions from the VIPs here. Sisters, if you have any questions, we may just have a little bit of time for Q&A. So quickly put your questions. If you're in the VIP area, guys, tap them in the chat. If you're on Facebook, please tap it in there, in the comments. So I have a question here, which is, how do you deal with conflict birthed by unavoidable external factors, especially when it really pushes your emotions? What is your advice, Yostella?
Can you read that again, Naima?
Yeah, it's in the chat. It says, how do you deal with conflict birthed by unavoidable external factors, especially when it really pushes your emotions?
Ah, okay. I think one of the things that you can you know, try to address is, what is it about that conflict that really pushes your emotions? You know, and try to identify so that you can be specific. When you're specific, then you can address it to your spouse and say, you know what, I don't really like the fact that I feel undervalued, for example, because when this happens, and that's how I feel. Sometimes we don't know what actually triggers our emotions. So it's very good to note what really is the key thing that pushes us. And then once we identify that, we can discuss it with our spouse or discuss it with the relevant person and try to look at ways to addressing it so that it doesn't put us in that situation again. And, you know, makes us, you know, like provoked, if that makes sense.
I have a question here in the Facebook group, which is, and I want to kind of sort of push that question out a bit further, because I think that it's something that has come up a few times, even since yesterday. So the question is, what if he is only present and responsive when it suits him? So I would like, Umtalha, I would like you to offer some advice for women who are married to selfish men. Okay. Because it is a problem where the wife wants to work on it, the wife wants things to change or to evolve or whatever, she wants more, and the man is not available for that. So obviously, a lot of what you've said, a lot of what Sister Maryam said earlier, and even Sister Salma said, is, you know, it really makes sense for couples who are, you know, working together on this. But what if your husband is not working with you? Either he thinks everything's fine, or he's just stubborn or selfish. Yeah. How do we deal with that?
Yeah, I think it's a very, very good question. And I think there needs to be more like discussion on that, because I sense that, you know, women are quite keen to develop and, you know, become better and work at the relationship, whereas sometimes men can be quite complacent and quite, you know, lack with regards to, you know, relationship or parenting, whatever, you know. So I think it's a very, very good question. One of the key ways is to really like highlight the matter yourself. You see, with attention, if you try to, you know, drum in about a matter that is important to you, eventually with, you know, like persistence, you will get that attention. It's a bit like in a petition, you know, when we are really passionate about a matter, we try to go on and on and on about it. And I think one of the things that, you know, women should not feel shy away from is addressing the matter in different ways. Okay, I try to book a time with him so I can talk about what's important to me. It didn't work. Okay, so maybe next time, you know, I need to write to him. But try to exhaust all the different methods that you think is going to be effective in grabbing your husband's attention, so that he takes notice and he understands. Could even be sometime, you know, after, to get ourselves thinking, after something that he likes to do, you know, it could be, you know, after a good meal, or it could be after, you know, he is, say, come back from, you know, work and he's relaxed, he's just, you know, trying to, you know, catch up on his news and things like that. Whatever moment you get where you know that he's going to be fully present or focused, or at least grab some of his attention, and inshallah, address it. And don't be disheartened if, you know, one attempt doesn't work. Try again. And you know, sometimes it could be that he's taken note, he just is taking time to come around the matter, maybe because he hasn't realized that you have really flourished and you're actually going forward. So could be that, you know, he's just trying to understand how to deal with this change that he has witnessed, you know. So it could be a lot going on in his mind, you know, and it may come across as that he is quite stubborn, or he's not actually taking notes. It could be that he just freaked out that, you know, you've really like gone, you know, ahead, and he just doesn't know what to do. He's just trying to figure out himself. It'd be a combination of things, but my point is, if you feel strongly about something, try to address it in the way that you think is going to be most suitable for him to pay attention. So don't just give up after one attempt. You know, try again, so that you have his attention and you have related to him. What he does with the information is up to him. Obviously, you know, you can't expect him to react in a certain way because you don't control his reaction. But what you can do is try to convey how you're feeling and where you are at with things, so that he knows, and at least you know that you have tried to inform him and keep him in the loop. I hope that makes sense.
Well, I think it does, but I think, girls, ladies, I do think that this is definitely a conversation for another day. Mm-hmm. Because it is more to do with conflict resolution, you know, communication, compromise, and, you know, what options are actually available for you if you are in a very unfulfilling marriage with no way forward. So I think we will shelve it there, inshallah. I have made a note. Inshallah, we will address this in an upcoming virtual salon session. I think we have the skills within the community from the brothers and the sisters side to actually address these issues where, you know, people are unhappy in their marriages, men and women, brothers and sisters, you know. Mm-hmm. So inshallah, not to worry. I would like to thank you firstly, Talha, for being here with us, for teaching us, for sharing of your wisdom. May Allah reward you and bless you and your family. And I would like to thank all our patrons for their help and their support. Because of you guys, we are able to continue to do this work. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. May you all get some of the barakah. And all our wonderful ladies who supported us by buying tickets, who are there in the Facebook group, listening, taking notes, commenting. I appreciate you. I love you all for the sake of Allah. I will put Talha's information and her organization's information in the Facebook group, and it will be emailed out as well, inshallah. Talha, what's the best place for people to connect with you?
I've got recently my own Instagram page, so they can connect, you know, directly through that, or, you know, Marital Arts, you know, Instagram page as well.
Okay, fantastic. Okay, guys, inshallah, as I said before, go and take a toilet break, grab some more water, grab a cup of tea. We'll be back here, inshallah, in 16 minutes at 4 o'clock when we've got the co-wives, coaches Naila and Fatima, talking about effective communication. So I will see you all then, inshallah. Subhanak Allahumma Rabbana bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, wa astaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Jazakallahu khairan.
Barakallahu fiik. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.